And what we're doing this morning is looking at the farewell act, the washing of the disciples' feet. After that event, he asked them this question, "Do you know? Do you know what I've done to you? Know ye what I have done to you?" And I would ask you that question this morning, child of God. This is a question to every saint. This is a question the Lord Jesus asks every one of us. Jesus would say to us, "Do you know what I've done to you? Do you know what I've done for you?" That's the very question Jesus asks us today. Do you know it? The sense of know has three ideas. The first is understanding. Do you understand what I've done to you? And then it has a sense of assurance. Do you know? Not just do you think or do you hope, but do you know? Are you really assured? Are you knowing? Experiencing as well as understanding what I've done to you. And then it has the idea of love. True knowledge is mixed with love, and very often it has that connotation in the Bible to know, for particularly in a marriage relation, to know is to love. And do you love what I've done to you? And so those words are maybe not as easy to understand as the surface as we think. We have to go deep in to understand them. I want you to see the drama the Lord creates, because that's what he does here. He has actions, and he does these things, and they're all significant. And I want to draw your attention to his actions. It says there in verse 3, knowing he knew all things, that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. So he has this knowledge, and then he rises. He rises from supper, and he lays aside his garments, and he takes a towel, and he girds himself, he covers himself with the towel, and then he gets water, and he pours water into a basin, and then he stoops down and begins to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And then he comes to Simon Peter, and he goes to all the others. And I want you to ignore the interruption. Peter interrupts him. And we don't have time to look at the interruption this morning. He shouldn't have interrupted the Lord. But forget about the interruption. We just want to see as if it wasn't interrupted. And he does this drama, and he washes all their feet. And then it says, after he'd washed their feet, he took his garments again, and he puts them on again. And then he sits down. And he says, "Do you know what I've done for you?" It's a drama. It's an act. I give you the context of the supper. You know, the supper, whenever it says the supper being ended, that doesn't mean they had eaten it all. It literally means that it was all there on the table. It had all been set. It was ready. There was no more supper to prepare. It was all there. All they had to do was eat it. But they don't start eating it. He gets up in the middle of it. And he goes around and he washes their feet. It's about to be eaten. And all the apostles are feeling rather strange, you know, because they're feeling awkward. You know why they're feeling awkward? Because their feet haven't been washed. It's a posh upper room. It's up in the upper part of Jerusalem. You can go to the site today, though the building itself isn't there, the original one, but there is one in this place. We know where it is, was approximately. A well-to-do upper part of Jerusalem, and it's a real spiritual treat given to them by the Lord this last night, and they're reclining comfy on their couches. That's what they're doing. They're round the table. They're reclining. They have couches or comfortable mats. And the way they do is they sort of lean on their left arm, facing each other around the table, and the right arm is free to take the food and to pass it on to someone else, and their feet are behind them. You see, no one has washed their feet. And the feet washing happens at the door when you come in. And here they are all gathered around the table, and nobody's done the feet washing. And the Lord, before they start, the Lord gets up and washes their feet. It's not the time you wash feet. But you see, there's a problem here. There are no servants in the upper room. There's just the apostles and Jesus. And nobody wants to wash the feet. Nobody wants to take the part of a servant. So everybody goes in and takes their feet, and they put their dirty, dusty feet up on the couches, nonetheless. They just go on ahead. Nobody's going to do it. We know that there was a strife amongst them around about the very same time. Luke tells us that they were talking about and fighting about who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be accounted the greatest. They're thinking the very opposite. And there's nobody here will stoop down to get the water and to wash the feet. So the Lord's spoiling of them in the upper room this last night has kind of gone to their heads. And they're high-minded. And no one will stoop to fill a basin and to wash the disciples' feet or their Lord's feet. And they're all willing to endure dirty, dusty feet on the nice, clean couches. And it's in that context that Jesus rises up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel. Now, these actions are described in detail. It doesn't just say he washed their feet. No, John has to paint the drama. He has to bring in all the verbs of action that Jesus, he riseth from supper. He laid aside his garments. He took a towel. He girded himself. He poured out the water. He stooped down to wash the feet. He rose again. He took his garments again. And he sat down again. It's all described. All the verbs of activity are there, every bit of it. Because this is a prophetic action. You know that the prophets didn't only preach. They did things. They did prophetic acts. Sometimes they even named their children in prophetic acts. Sometimes they took a vessel and they smashed the vessel. Sometimes they lay down on their side for hours at an end. In a drama. Sometimes they cut their hair and scattered it to the winds and threw it into the fire. Why did they do these dramatic acts? Because not only were their words prophetic, very often their actions were prophetic. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's a prophet. And he's doing a prophetic drama before them to teach them. That's what we have here. So the Lord arises to do the work of a servant. And the action is a kind of a parable. What he is going to do for their souls. Know you what I have done to you. And brethren and sisters, has the meaning penetrated into our souls? Because he says these words. He doesn't literally wash our feet in the upper room, but what that prophetic act signifies, he has done to us. He has done it. And he says, do you know? Do you know what I've done to you? Do you know what it's all about? And so it's the verbs that we must focus on. The verbs are the doing words. Do you know what I have done? And the verbs are what you look for when you see what a man has done. Let's look at the verbs. The first one is Jesus rising. Rising from supper. The feast is laid, the table is prepared, all the provision there. It's a classy upper room. It's one of the greatest feasts in Israel. It's the Passover feast. One of the greatest events. It's a picture of wonderful things. And here he is. And he rises up from it. He is the Lord in the midst of them. He's in the center of them. He's the Lord of glory. It has just said in the previous chapter that Isaiah saw his glory and spoke of him. This is the glorious one. The glorious one in the midst of the table. The glorious one with all his apostles and all his children around him. He is the Lord of glory. He's their king. And he knows something. He knows that he's come from God and he goes to God. He knows that the Father has all things in his hands. And what does he do? He rises up from the supper. He rises up to stoop. He rises up to become a servant. He rises up and leaves his throne. He rises up and leaves the glory to come to us. He left the Father's house. He arose from the company of the angels. He arose from the presence of his Father. He arose and he comes. This rising is a picture of that. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. He rose up. He got off his throne. He's the Lord that reigneth. The Bible says he's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. And it says he rose up and laid aside his garments. He laid aside his garments. The clothings of majesty. The garment that had no hem. The beautiful robe. He laid it aside. He took it off. The glorious one in the midst. None of the rest of the apostles. They want the glory. They want to keep their garments on. Who of us is going to be the greatest? Who of us is going to have the chief job? But Jesus lays aside his garments. He lays aside the glory. The glory which he had with the Father. He lays it aside. He veils himself. He talks about the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I'm going back to that. But at the moment, I've laid it aside. He laid aside his garments. He laid them aside. Know you what I've done to you? I've laid aside my glory for you. He laid aside his garments. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. He laid aside his riches. He laid aside his garment. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. He laid aside his garments. Took upon him the form of a servant. That glory which Isaiah saw, that glory which Isaiah saw, he laid it aside. And people can't see any glory. It's hidden and it's concealed. Why? Because he's laid it aside. He's laid aside the garments. And so when the Romans come and the Jews come and they crucify the Lord of glory, they didn't know it's the Lord of glory. Why did they not know it's the Lord of glory? Because he laid aside his garments. He laid them aside. Know you what I've done to you? And so he laid it aside. So this is an amazing thing for our Lord to do, even around the supper. But this is what he has done in reality. The disciples wouldn't lay aside their wee glory. Oh, 'twas love. 'Twas wondrous love. The love of God to me. It brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. Having loved his own, he loved him to the end. Oh, 'twas love. And then he took a towel. A mere towel. He took to himself something. This is a further humbling action. The towel is the instrument of a servant. You give a slave a towel. That's what it is. He takes a towel. The towel was there. But none of the apostles would take it. I'm not for taking a towel. I want an office. I want a position. I don't want a towel. But Jesus takes a towel. He took to himself a towel. That's what he did. Oh, Christ took something to himself. You know what he took to himself? He took dust. Because he took a human nature. And what is a human nature? It's dust. Thou knowest I'm dust, David said. And you remember God said to Adam, dust, dust you are. And Jesus took to himself a human nature. He took the form of a servant. What does the Bible say? For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took. He took part of the same. He took it. He took a towel. And because you're dust, because you're human nature, he took the human nature. Verily, he took not on him the nature of angels. Oh, that was a bit more glorious nature than angels aren't dust. But he didn't take the nature of angels. He took upon him the seed of Abraham. He became a man. And he girded himself. It says, that's another verb. He took a towel and he tied it around his body. This isn't a wee tea towel. And it's hanging down. He girded himself. He laid aside his garments. And now he's arrayed with a towel. Do you know what I've done to you? He was made flesh and dwelt among us. Whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Not he that sitteth at meat. I'm among you as one that serveth, he said, and he took a towel and he girded himself. We read Philippians. Philippians 2 is really a great explanation of this. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took, he took upon him. He took upon him the form of a servant. Paul saw what it meant. Paul had studied this upper room Acts. He took a towel, and Paul says he took the form of a servant. Paul had been in the upper room. Not literally, but he got the words from the apostles and he studied it and meditated upon it, just as we can do. Do you know what I've done to you? I've become dust for you. I took the form of a servant for you. I stooped low. I got up off the table and I came down and I stooped low and I'm going lower because it says he pours water into a basin. The apostle has to describe it. The water's being poured out. Now water in John's gospel is a symbol of life. You studied John's use of water. It's a symbol of life. He pours the water out. Pours it into a basin. Oh. He pours it all out. This is needful to the cleansing act. No cleansing without the pouring out. No cleansing without the pouring out of the life. He rose up and he girded himself in order to the pouring. He rose up and girded himself in order to the washing. He can't sit down again until he's poured out. He can't sit down again until he's poured out the water and washed the feet. He poured it out. And as for our sins, the pouring of this water is not sufficient, but he must pour out his blood. This is the cross. No cleansing without the pouring out. No cleansing without the shedding of his blood. He poured it out. One of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And there came out, John says it, there came out blood and water. He poured out the water. In that day there will be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. A fountain open. He poured it out. I'm poured out like water, he says in Psalm 22. I'm poured out like water. He must have had it in mind as he took the water. And he poured it out. He's ashamed to say, this is my blood which is shed for you. But now he takes the water and he pours it out. He says, I'm poured out like water. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is wax. It's melted like wax in the midst of my bowels. I'm melted and I'm poured out. Remember whenever David wanted to drink from the well of Bethlehem and how men risked their lives and set in jeopardy their blood to go to the wells of Bethlehem, and they brought back a big jug of water, bottle of water, cruse of water, whatever. Oh, David longed to drink it. But what did he do? He poured it out. He says, this is the blood of men who went in jeopardy of their lives. I can't drink it. It's an offering. He poured it out. He poured it out. What does Isaiah say? He poured out his soul unto death. Unto death. Do you know? Do you know what I've done to you? Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. He dies that they might live. He pours forth his blood that they might be cleansed. And at the cross, Jesus says, do you know? Do you know what I've done to you? Do you know what it meaneth? It's all for them. And then he comes to them individually. He begins to wash their feet. He comes to Peter, and that's where the interruption is, and we're not going to look at the interruption. But he goes after Peter, maybe there's someone else to do, and he does all of their... He washed their feet. He washed their feet. And to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded, the text says, he covers their dirty feet. He washes it with the water. And then he covers their dirty feet, and with this towel that girded him, he kind of closes the feet with his towel and wipes it dry. He identifies with them. And so the water cleanses him, but also his towel covers him. He's clothed me with the garments of his salvation. He's made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He clothes us, he washes us, but he not only washes us, he covers us with that which has girded himself, even his own righteousness. He covers us. And so we have the cleansing is by him and from him. And brethren and sisters, if he had not arisen and come and girded himself, there would be no cleansing for us, no covering. But he did come. Praise his name. Do you know what I've done to you? You remember how he said, no man taketh it from me. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I've power to lay it down. And that's what he said there. He laid aside his garments. No man takes it from me. I lay it down. Same verbs. I lay it down. I lay it aside. I do it. No man takes it from me. I lay it down. I have power to lay it down. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the ability to lay. I lay it down. I'm the only man in the universe who can lay down my life. Everybody else dies. Everybody else has to die. Sin. And sin makes them die. But Jesus says, I lay it down. I don't have to die. I lay it down. And then he says, I've power to lay it down. And then he says something else. I've power to take it again. I've taken up again. I've resurrection power. I've power to take it up again. And so after he'd washed their feet, after he had done that, it says it says there in verse 12, after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments again. And that's the same verb. He took his garments again. I said, I lay it down, I lay it aside, and I take it again. And now he does that in a drama. He goes to his garments, and he takes them again. And then it says, he sat down. When he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down, having stooped so low, he rises again, puts on the glory again, and sits down again. It's a drama. Do you know what I've done to you? And we know, because we're taught of the Holy Spirit. We know what it means. He came from God and he went back to God. Having left the Father and having, as it were, come thither, he died. Yes, he stooped low, but he rises again. He sits, he ascends, he goes back to glory and is set down at the right hand of God. And that's why he says, knowing that he came from God and he goes back to God. He knew that. And then he got up and he did this drama. And Peter doesn't understand. And the apostles don't understand at that particular moment. But you see, when John wrote it, many years later, he understood it. So you see, the farewell action is a drama setting forth the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The action pictures the reality. Every step has significance. And now these disciples must have stood in awe of that humbling service. They must have stood in awe of that. What a demonstration it was of condescending, humble love. And yet it's but a faint picture of Calvary, and they didn't even see that yet. The Son of God loved me, Paul said, and gave himself for me. Know you what I've done to you? Do you know the cost? Do you know how much it costs the Holy One to bear away our sin? Do you know the depths of the humiliation? Do you know how great the love is? Do you know? Know ye? Having loved his own, he loved him to the end. Do you know that? Do you know how much I loved you? Do you understand what took place at Calvary? Do you understand it? Do you know how you're washed? Do you know how you're cleansed? Do you know what happened at the cross? Do you know I was incarnate for you? Do you know I died for you? Do you know I rose again for you? Do you know I'm exalted for you? Do you know I'm sat down at the Father's right hand for you? Do you know that? Do you appreciate that? Do you trust in me? Do you love me above everything else? Are you devoted to me? Are you devoted to me? Know ye what I have done to you, Jesus says.